Hey y'all, welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Franklin here with Jonathan.
Hey y'all.
And today we have a lot to talk about. We're going to be going over Avatar announcements, a lot of DC stuff. I'm going to be discussing some Invincible. We're both going to be talking about that crazy TikTok ban going on right now. Well, how have you been? Let's go with that one.
Fantastic. Well, I'm doing fantastic now. I was so sick for a few days. We had a birthday party for my son and my wife. After that, I was like dying from sick. But then Friday morning, it was just like a light switch flipped and I felt amazing. So doing good.
It's been going around. Well, I've been doing good. I was sick a couple weeks ago. When you're sick, do you find that you, so like, hey, I'm home, time to watch movies, time to play video games. Do you find yourself actually doing that or just like sleeping?
Yeah, sleeping. So I try to. I'll put on something like, oh man, I've been waiting to watch this movie for so long. Finally, I could justify just being in bed and watching a movie. But I don't have the mental capacity to really pay attention to it. And that's the worst. It's like I have the time, but I don't have the focus to actually enjoy it. So I just put on the Seinfeld or, you know, reruns of Avatar, Star Trek, something that I don't have to pay attention to. But if I catch an episode or a glimpse, then I'll still enjoy it without spoiling something. So I usually just put that on in the background.
Yeah, Bob's Burgers is like such a great one for me. But it's like I've seen it a dozen times and it just makes me feel good. That's a good one when I'm sick and I'll just like zone out. Yeah, it's hard because it's like, man, I know, guilt-free being a bum right now. Let me get some video games in, and that just never works out.
Right.
So betraying. All right, let's move into our question of the day, our week. We have, if you could be any dystopian movie character for one day, who would it be? I'm going to go ahead and go into some of our answers, Jonathan, while you cook that up. So first off, we have Dan4Z is saying Duncan, Idaho from... I'm gonna give a spoiler warning first off for like the future Dune books, so be careful, guys.
Okay,
keep that in mind. Skip forward 15 seconds. Duncan Idaho dies in the first book, first half of the first book, whatever, and in the first movie, but he's cloned multiple times later on in the story, and so he's alive multiple times, time and time and time again. And Paul Atreides' son Leto is pretty crazy, and he's like a worm dude, and it's a whole thing. He keeps bringing Duncan back, so great choice. He says, I get revived 8 times and some top tier modifications, so yeah, pretty awesome on that one. We have Vinny S, who says K, which is from Akira. One of the most legendary anime scenes ever is K sliding on his motorcycle. It's been mimicked so many times in movies, it's so freaking cool. And I can't find it here, it's not letting me open up the replies. I know somebody, so I don't know their name, said Judge Dredd, and I was like, nailed it.
That is a good one.
What do you think of Jolly? What's your dystopian character?
So many. Can you guess what my top one would be, my first one?
I Am Legend?
No, that's a good one, but how would you enjoy that? I mean, it's so lonely, and you're just wandering. You have full access if you want to go see some monuments and stuff like that, but I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, cool, peace and quiet, finally. I don't see where you would have like fun with it. I don't know. So my number one go-to, at least right now in the state of mind I'm in, is Ready Player One. You can go anywhere and everywhere. It is technically a dystopian future, but you log in and you can just explore so much. So that would be a lot of fun. But then, like you said, Judge Dredd, Book of Eli, RoboCop. Like, there's a lot of them where it'd be fun to, like, play as some of your favorite characters in these.
Somebody who's unstoppable, right? That's kind of part of it. It's like, unstoppable, very little consequences. Even, like, Rick Grimes to a degree, except for, like, the whole losing your wife and son and da-da-da-da. But, like, you know, where you can just, like, shoot some zombies when you need to blow off some steam. It's fun stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
I have to go with I Am Legend, especially the movie version, Will Smith. I kind of wouldn't want to just be one day. I don't know. I think I would do good in that world. And you just have to stay in the sunlight. Yeah, that's easy peasy. And I haven't seen that movie in a while, and they're making a sequel to it. So I might need to go. Michael B. Jordan's going to be, it's a prequel. Michael B. Jordan's going to be in it too. So might have to go back to that. It's going to be good.
Have you ever seen the movie Daybreakers?
Yes, it's so good.
Okay. See, when you say, oh, you just got to stay in the sunlight, I was like, oh, yeah, that's another great one where it's like, I guess it's a dystopian future. I don't really know. It is vampires rule the world. Yeah, exactly.
Your cattle.
But it's such a cool perspective. I love to see movies like that. I don't know. Another good one.
You reminded me of something that's not on our list because it flew under the radar, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Ready Player Two in productions.
Mm. Thank God, finally. Oh, yeah. God. The audiobook.
Ever.
I can't say the book for two is better than the book for one, but it's just such a good, one was so good. I want more of it. And two is also really good. So
yeah,
I'm excited for it. That'll be fun.
Did you do the audiobook or did you read it?
It was audiobook. Yeah.
Okay. I might have to do that then.
I think it was, I first picked up Audible back when we were promoting it. Yeah. A long time ago. And, that was one of probably the first five audiobooks that I listened to through them.
I'll have to check it out. Boy, the Dune audiobook is out of this world. The way it has like that sand rolling in and stuff like that. That's super good.
Yeah.
I really love that one.
Really gets you immersed.
All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the quickies here. First off, Netflix announces not only Avatar Season 2, but Season 3 as well. And we had a really cool, I ended up posting it on TikTok. You saw that, right? Where Daniel Day-Kim kind of surprised the cast.
Yeah, that was cool. He did like a meeting with everyone. He's like, hey guys, I just want you to know I had an interview or had a meeting with some of the executives or, you know, the producers, whatever it was. And, you know, I got some news. You know, unfortunately, you know, I really wanted to come here and be able to tell you guys we got approved for Season 2. I can't tell you that. They told me don't break the news like that.
By the way, while you're saying that, Aang looks devastated. Like all these young actors, this is their break. They all look so sad.
He's trying to let them sit heartbroken for a minute. And he's like, yeah, we actually got approved for Season 2 and 3 at the same time. Yeah. And they're like, oh my God. So that was kind of funny. It was
Sokka's cool. In tears. And I felt so good. I truly love that cast. They've just totally buy into it. And that's so fun to be like we talk about Iman Vellani a lot. Miss Marvel. You may or may not like the character, but you cannot hate the actress because man, she is an MCU fan just as much as you and me. And that's what we want. I hate when like Ben Affleck doesn't like being Batman. Then why do I care about you being Batman? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just love when you have somebody who's like, I love being Aang. It's so cool.
If you see somebody who really doesn't want to be Batman, you almost want this to be a Joker movie where he's, you know, fighting Batman from his perspective kind of thing.
That's you a really good
them,
way to do it.
You want to see them lose at that job, do a bad job.
They recently posted, and I'll have to share it to you. It's on Instagram, so I don't know if I'll figure it away. They had the kids try out for all these roles, and this happens all the time. They read the lines when they're trying out for it, but it's not related at all to Avatar. Like, Sokka's is about this guy who lost his dog, yada, yada, yada. And then they have it filmed. They reveal... By the way, I hope you're okay with this. We'd like to have you play Aang, Last Airbender. And like, he's like, oh my God, no way. You know, like, cause you didn't know what you're reading for, you know, you're hoping for something cool, but you know, whatever. And then he's got a good head of hair and he's just like, wait, do I have to shave my head? He's like, yes, you do.
Well, but, do you think he shaved his head or did they put him in a
cap? No, they shaved his head.
Cap. Okay.
Yeah cause right be so afterwards you saw me, it's just growing back and stuff like that, all the post PR stuff.
And yeah, later seasons, he starts to grow his hair back. So especially season 3.
Season 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, okay, here's the question for you. There was a meme, there's a great Twitter account, if you guys are still on Twitter, for called Discussing Films. Discussing Films, I think. Anyways, there's a meme version of them, a fake version of that, where they post fake news that feels almost real, the Onion kind of thing. And they were saying that they're going to go with a non-blind actress for Toph, and everybody lost their mind. First off, it's a fake account, so don't freak out, guys.
Yeah.
Do you think they go with a blind actress or a non-blind actress?
That's hard because it takes, well, I don't know.
I will throw this in there to throw a wrench in it. Daredevil's not played by a blind guy.
Yeah. And I think like the vast majority of blind characters in TV have not been blind actors. I think acting as a skill set or as a career is not often pursued by blind people. It's very hard to do, I'd imagine. Without sight. So there's probably just a small handful of blind actors as there is, let alone ones that look like the character that you're trying to cast them for. And it's not like you can go find a blind person and say, hey, we want someone blind to play this character. Do you think you can act? Because you need somebody who knows how to act.
Yeah, you need somebody who knows. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'd say
and the right age group and the right race. It's a very niche window you're trying to tighten it down to. To add blindness on top of that might be too niche to even find the right actress for that.
Because if you have a good actor who can act like they have a German accent or whatever, you don't need to go find a guy with a German accent. You need a really good actor who can act like they have that accent and then also act like they have that, you know, Nazi rage or whatever that was required for that character. Or
poor Germans will always be one thing.
I know, unfortunately.
It's not like for them when they built, when they made the Frankfurter. No, it's always Nazi stuff. Yeah. Poor guys.
They're on the wrong side of history, unfortunately.
They are for a while. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's more important that you have an actor who can act really good for the character, and Blind being just a one piece of that character versus... And if you find them all align and there happens to be a Blind actor that fits the role, fantastic. That's great. But I don't think that's going to be very common. So I wouldn't make that be a bottleneck that limits what actors you can find for that role.
I, you know what? I'm going to look into trying to find good Blind, any actual Blind actors or actresses, and see what roles we might be missing, because there's probably something out there that we're not thinking about. Like deaf actors have been on the rise recently and real prominent roles and have done a phenomenal job. I wonder if it's Blind. I'm going to look into that. That's interesting, because I just don't, you don't really think about that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next thing here. Venom 3 is confirmed to be coming to theaters later this year, and they changed the name to Venom The Last Dance. You haven't watched Venom, right?
I think I watched the first one, but I don't remember how it ends.
That's fair.
But I definitely don't think I saw the second one.
They're pretty forgettable, but they're not like terrible. I think, especially when you compare it to something like Madame Web or Morbius, but they're serviceable, right? Like, they're Marvel in name only. They're Sony driven first, but you got Tom Hardy being Tom Hardy. That's always fun. And it's kind of like a ridiculous version. It very much reminds me of like early 2000s superhero movies, where it was just like, what the hell? We got the rights to this. Let's just make this. So it's worth a watch in that sense.
Yeah, I definitely love Tom Hardy. It's anything he's in, I'll watch. Well, I say that, but I haven't seen the second one, so I'm failing, but yeah.
The second one's worse than the first one, but it's got Woody Harrelson playing Carnage, and I personally liked Woody Harrelson as Carnage because Woody Harrelson plays Screwloose real well, so he's just kind of doing his thing. It's perfect.
Nice.
The Batman Part 2 is delayed to 2026. I still listen to that soundtrack. That's such a good soundtrack, the Batman with Robert Pattinson. Yeah. So freaking good. I'm going to miss that one. I can't wait.
I'm sure it was good. It was a really good movie, but I can't say I remember any of the songs that were in it. I don't think I've ever listened to the soundtrack. Though, like, what's the... Oh, gosh. Guardians of the Galaxy, that's the one. I set up a Pandora playlist from them, you know, many years ago. And so that's just kind of my go-to, is like that or like, you know, 90s country. So I don't really venture out and look for other soundtracks to listen to anymore.
I recently got a new record player for Christmas from Miguel, and because my old record player was just is too big and cumbersome for the shelf. This is a new one. And so I was like, okay, time to fire up on the record collecting again. And the first record I knew I wanted to get was the Guardians of the Galaxy record. They had like the collector's edition that has the first and second album. And I mean, that's what's great about a record, or what's nice about those is a record you put on there, you have like five songs per side. It's not super easy to change songs or move songs around. It's really a device where you should listen to the entire album while you're reading a book or something like that, which is what I use it for. And Guardians of the Galaxy, there's not a freaking miss. It's just hit after hit. So it's perfect.
Yeah. That's funny. It's kind of nice though to have that thing. You know, we take advantage of, you know, the conveniences that we're given today. But when you have to sit through like a trailer or a commercial or like that, where you have to listen to the song, if you're on regular radio and you have to listen to songs that, I wasn't looking for this one, but I'll listen to it anyways, because that's where you find, not only do you find patience and you learn to appreciate the songs you really like, but then you also find music that you haven't heard before. And you might find your next favorite song because you're not, you know, listening to your playlist of your top five over and over again. So
I'm not an audiophile guy. Like, I mean, I edit and I've gone to school for editing podcasts, yada, yada, yada. But I'm not like a guy who's like, oh, it's got to be just right, man. But there's something about a record. And I think I've talked to you about this before, where like if you get an old record, I have a lot of records that are printed in this or pressed in the 70s. Like you actually like that was pressed in the 70s, the music analog on there. So when you're listening to it, it feels like it's more real in a way. And it's funny because like on Spotify or YouTube, wherever you listen to your music, it's way higher quality. Sure. But it doesn't feel real. And for some reason, a record just is. And I don't know. I can't really fully explain it. Maybe some musician out there gets it, but it's cool.
Yeah. It feels aged.
Yeah. Like they're actually in the room or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Among Us, have you played that game at all? It got real big during the pandemic. Everybody's playing it. I sucked at it.
Oh, yeah. I played that a lot. My nieces had it, and we would play together on my phone, I think.
Yeah, Mobile.
So they're making a live action TV series, I want to say. Yeah, it's a TV series. Not live action. I said live action. I'm sorry. It's a cartoon. It's done by the guys who did Lower Decks. Lower Decks. Yeah. Titmouse, that company. So they just casted the four main characters. Randall Park, who is the one that's like the Jim, from The Office, fake Jim that you've seen a lot. Yeah. Ashley Johnson is going to be playing in this. Yvette Nicole Brown is going to be the orange one. And Yvette Nicole Brown, of course, is the, she's from Community. She's the one that's really Christian and likes Christmas all the time and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Elijah Wood is going to be in this as the green one. And it's like this star-studded cast. It's just freaking nuts.
Elijah Wood, that's real good.
I know.
I mean, he hasn't been in much, but he's such a great actor.
Yeah, and Ashley Johnson's the voice of, she's been in a bunch of stuff, but most recently people know her as the voice of Ellie from The Last of Us. So she's been very prolific up until this point, too. But the Among Us show, I'm kind of hoping they don't tell us who's killing everybody. I want to be trying to figure it out as well.
Surprised too. Yeah.
I suck if we know who it is and then it's just like we're in on it. I don't know.
I hope they're using this name and just the rough concept to really sell it, but they completely make it a whodunit kind of thriller drama that we can fall into. Because if it's kind of campy and overly cartoonish just to be like a game, like a kid's game, then sure, it'll be great for the 7 to 12-year-olds and nobody else will be interested in it. But yeah, I think they have something here that they could really get a lot of, clickbait based on the name, but also they have a good opportunity to make a exciting, dramatic kind of thriller.
Yeah. And again, Lower Decks animation guys, Vox Machina animation guys. So it's going to be high quality. And I just think that would be a blast. Like at the end of the first episode, somebody's opened an airlock and they're like, what the hell? Who did that? And try to figure it out the whole time. And then we could like make bets on who we think it is. That's going to be good.
So if this is a complete flop, I think they should still pursue Among Us and make it a reality show. Imagine all these terrible reality shows that they're making. Yeah. Get rid of, I don't know. I tried to watch one recently that was just
Traitors.
Unbearable. Huh?
Was it Traitors that you tried to watch?
Yeah. Traitors. Yeah. I was just like, it's just trying to be super overly dramatic. And that's just, you gotta work for it. You can't just force it. But it'd be kind of fun as a reality show too.
Yeah. You remember the show, The Mole? It was like, back. That was a good one. I wouldn't mind them bringing that back.
So I saw my wife too. I was like, this is kind of like they're trying to be like The Mole, but it's not as good. They're heavy handed on the drama. Yeah. Have you seen the new Fallout trailer? I know you played Fallout a lot, right?
Yeah, it looks super good. What'd you think about it?
Okay. Yeah, I think I played it just a little bit. I don't even remember, honestly, how the game was, but the trailer looks really cool. And as I was watching it, it looks like a great hybrid between, translating a fun game like it to live action. But I didn't play Fallout, if I did, not very much. What I was thinking is how good this would look as Overwatch, if they did Overwatch in this style in a movie. Yes. What do you think?
Embracing the bright colors, which is really nice because it's like a post-apocalyptic world. And so sometimes you're like, they could make it sad and drab, but this feels bright. And that's how, you're right. With Overwatch, it's all about those bright colors. That would be cool.
I wonder if this is a new style we're going to see too, because a lot of this kind of reminds me of steampunk, but it's not the traditional steampunk we're used to. It's this whole new kind of cartoon, animation, live action mix. And we've seen it in a few other things. But I think we're going to start seeing this as a popular style moving forward.
Yeah, we just got that Borderlands trailer, which again is the same kind of thing where it's a little bit post-apocalyptic. I mean, that one's more spacebound, but it's the same thing where it's just like rock and roll blasting in the background somewhere, you'd assume.
This
is more subtle in a different way. Like this one's, let's be honest with it. I think Borderlands just doesn't have the same quality as this one's going to have. Like literally Todd Howard, the maker of the game, is involved in making the show as well. And I think that's a big part of the feel. Because I was like, I want there to be humor, and they have humor in this, which is nice, because the fact that one of the characters played by Walter Goggins, which I just freaking love. He's from Righteous Gemstones and stuff like that. And he's Uncle Baby Billy in Righteous Gemstones. But he's going to be playing the Noseless character in this show, who's like 200 years old. And the whole thing is that he's like an old Western star who survived a nuclear apocalypse and now just watches old videos of him as an old Western star. Like, that's ridiculous. You're supposed to laugh at that because of how ridiculous that is. And not just be like, oh, he's a killer. No, no, no. That's not the point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the technology where it's like, it's either, it's like a retro technology in the future or it's like a different style. We see the same kind of thing on BioShock. Like, maybe if technology evolved in different branches or a different way, you know, if we didn't find, you know, gasoline engines or didn't make combustion engines, but we focused on steam, things would be totally different. If we didn't develop electricity or if we developed it 200 years earlier, whatever, you know, how different our technology could have evolved. I love seeing that. It just takes this, you know, creative artistic mind to make all these different branches of how things could have been made. But it looks really cool when you see it in a game like that too.
Yeah. And Fallout, the idea is that they took nuclear power and they just kept going with nuclear power. They didn't ever tear away from it. That's why it's Fallout, you know, from a nuclear war or devastation. And so they just embraced it. And then with BioShock, I think the whole thing was the fact that they learned the stims, right? They gave each other magic abilities, basically. Yeah. And that's where they diverted as they went toward. God, I can't wait for another one of those. So good.
I don't remember. I'm sure we've talked about it on here. Weren't they working on a BioShock movie, or I thought it was like a series?
They're working on a movie and they're working on another game, but they're so far out that it's going to be a bit. Yeah.
Dude, I'm ready. I know I keep saying like Avatar finally came out and I was waiting so long for that, but okay, this is the next thing. Like,
where do I have... As long as they do it right, it's worth the wait, because if they do it shitty, then
take your time.
What a waste. Yeah. I like Halo, trouble. But I'm so sick and tired of trying to defend Halo to people. And it's like, it's good. Give it a shot. But it didn't like do exactly like this one. You could tell like they're just straight up making another Fallout game, but in a Halo's not that. Halo's like, oh, we're gonna use the world, but it's not gonna feel the same. And so I'm sitting defending it all the time, and that's just hard to do sometimes.
I wonder, so you talk to a lot of Halo fans, but have you heard from other people who've never played the games? Do they like Halo?
I've never talked to somebody who hasn't played Halo.
I stay just away from those general. People.
Yeah, I avoid them. I see them in Walmart, so I turn away. No, it'd be great to find somebody who hasn't played Halo.
Yeah, I wonder, because I'm loving it, but the same, I mean, obviously it's not matching the game and you see the differences and some things are make you a little uncomfortable, but overall it's like, hey, it's beautiful. They're doing a good job. The writing is pretty darn good. But yeah, if you're an avid fan of the game, then you obviously see those discrepancies and are disappointed.
I like how there's two more episodes to go in the finale or for this second season of Halo. And Paramount came out to announce that the end of Halo 2 will match the first Halo game. Like, we're going to be there. Almost saying, just at least watch those last two episodes, guys. Because I promise you, we're going to get to the thing you've been waiting 2 years for. And it's like, good. I'm glad you at least said that. We need that as much as possible.
Yeah. At least there's going to be a little payoff by the end of the season. Come on, guys.
Yeah. But yeah, as for Fallout, again, a very bright world. I like how they make sure to show the inside of the vaults, which is... like you're really controlled, but you're kind of safe. Like, you know, we're playing ping pong and stuff like that. We've been here forever. Yeah. And then outside it's completely factions. That's one of the bigger parts of the game is that there are hardcore factions. And I think in every game, you have to choose a faction to kind of help more than others and they will come to the top, but every faction has a good and a bad. It's like, I remember one of the Halos, maybe Halo 4, like, oh, there's these engineer or these scientists, tech guys that are like, oh, they're clearly going to go for the best of mankind. They use slave labor. It's like one of those things. So yeah, it's always complicated. James Gunn revealed a bunch of stuff about DC. So I love him on Threads, guys. If you're not following him on Threads, you should. He'll just randomly like sit down on his couch one day for like 2 hours and just start answering people's questions on Threads. It's so fun. So let's go ahead and go over a couple things. First off, they announced today that they're going to be making a live action Teen Titans movie using the Supergirl writer. I think this. Her name is Anna Nagira. I practiced her name so hard for the TikTok, I forgot it already. Anna Nagira.
Anna Nagira. Yeah.
Teen Titans movie. This is like a slam dunk, right?
Yeah, that's. I'm excited. I liked Teen Titans as a kid. Then they changed it. I say as a kid, I was probably a teen when it started coming out, but they changed the animation style, and I was old enough to just be like, I'm good anyways. I didn't watch it after that. But in general, it's a good dynamic, and it's great, especially for kids. So. I'm wondering, I kind of want them to do both. I want them to make this for kids and I kind of want to make it for us. Yeah. I don't know how, obviously I don't think they can do both at the same time successfully, but What do you think? Do you think it's going to be more for the adults that watched Teen Titans when they were younger, or you think it's going to be for the next generation?
I could see them going for more young adults. I think they could probably go for the 20 to 25-year-olds. I would say kind of like the Flash TV series was for, because the reason I say that is because right now they're about to release issue 10, but Titans is the main team for DC, not Justice League. It's actually Titans. And so and that's happened in the past, not necessarily that officially, but Titans have been adult Titans for a while now. And they always reboot it back to the teens. So I could totally see them go an adult version and led by Nightwing. How freaking dope would that be? Actual Flash on there, not just Kid Flash. You know, I think it's warranted. You know, I don't think we need to go kid version.
You know what you just like blew my mind to, or I don't know, reminded me, I guess. We're not the youngest generation of adults anymore. There's these 20 to 25 year olds, 20 to 30 year olds that are younger than us. That's disappointing. Oh man. Okay. So there's a new generation of adults to camp to or to create to, I guess.
When you get up and you sit at the edge of your bed, you try to figure out what's going to hurt today. That's something a lot of other people don't have to deal with, Jonathan.
What new is going to hurt today?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's the left knee today. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. There we go. Let's go. Hey, Ready?
You're up. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. You're doing the heavy lifting. You're going to hurt tomorrow. That's too fucking true. All right. Let me get the other one open up here. I didn't have it open for some reason.
Oh, one thing though about Teen Titans is one thing I didn't like about, I think it was the Justice League movie, which also had Cyborg, how they didn't really build up the characters first. So I'm wondering with Teen Titan, I hope they do a good job at not just jumping in, hey, we got a team, these guys are all super cool, and we'll figure it out later. You got to build the backstory of why we should care about any of these characters, why any of them are powerful independently, or start them out where they're not powerful independently, and then, you know, bring them together and build them up. But I don't want you to show me a bunch of people and say, oh yeah, you just got to believe me. This guy's really good at that. That guy's really good at this. I kind of need to
show me, don't tell me. That's a big thing over on Challenge Accepted. We talk about that. Show us, don't tell us. Don't say this. Like on Avatar is a big thing. Like don't say Aang's just going to be the best airbender. You have to show us that. And then of course he does. Yeah. But so, okay. But I'll tell you this, John. So they're not going to do the origin story for Superman. They're not going to do the origin story for Batman. So you're saying that Teen Titans is the place they should do an origin story. Maybe because we're going to be starting with a Robin that's kind of retiring from being a Robin, maybe?
And we've seen the Batman and Superman origin story many times, but I don't think we've seen a Teen Titans origin story, you know, on the big screen. So they're not characters that everyone's, you know, well aware of. So, yeah, I think it once you've done it, you know, once, maybe twice, then, yeah, you don't have to repeat it. Like, I know every Batman or Superman movie seems to retell their origin, and we don't need to see it again, but especially if they're going to stay with the same actors, which I don't think they are, but if you're going to stay with the same actors for a while, then yeah, definitely don't repeat it. But yeah, I just don't think they're well enough known characters outside of maybe our generation, but you got to justify. And, you know, when you make sequels down the road, then yeah, they're established characters and they're great, but you don't want to just lunge at it. Like, the biggest one to me was they barely introduced in Justice League most of the characters, but especially Cyborg and one other character in that too, that there's two of them that were like, you barely get to know anything about them. And then they're supposed to be just as good as, you know, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. Yeah. That didn't make any sense.
There's all kinds of problems with the Cyborg in the Zack Snyder verse. There's controversy on controversy with that. So honestly, and not necessarily with Cyborg, but with just them ditching him and stuff. It's a shame. Yeah, this is our chance to get a new Cyborg. And you know what? We're getting Batman Brave and the Bold, the movie, beforehand, which will be introducing Damian Wayne, my favorite Robin, as Robin. That's a really good time to set up, hey, older Robin, you're ready to move on and start your own thing, maybe. And that's where we get the Nightwing of it all. And they could even introduce Deathstroke, which is a major villain for Titans. So maybe they could kind of have like the regular villain of Batman coming together with Deathstroke, and he accidentally kills Robin's girlfriend. Boom. There you go. All of a sudden you got him in there.
And honestly, one of the things I think that was a big factor for Marvel's success in getting to, you know, the Avengers was building these characters very slowly and not just throwing them at you super fast, you know, but each of them had, for the most part, maybe like Black Widow was probably rushed a little bit or something like that. But for the most part, they each had their own movie or two, three movies building up who they are and why you should care about them. And then it's like, they're already a major powerhouse in their own right. And then you put them together and it's like, oh, it's explosive. You can't just cut to the end. They have no value if you just don't build up that character in their own big movie, this massive world that they're in. And, you know, a lot of people relying on them. You have to make stakes to be able to, you know, be invested in the characters.
You're so right. I remember us having this conversation back in like 2010 when they were first, it was so new. The idea that they were going to have these characters come together for an Avengers movie. It was like, are you for really going to plan movies out that much? And now it's a given. But I mean, we already know when the reboot for Marvel's coming up. That's what's crazy. But yeah, the idea that they're going to come together and you had to have a villain, a threat big enough where Iron Man couldn't handle it or Thor couldn't handle it. So we do need to have that with the DC as well. There needs to be something that not just Robin can do, but everybody comes together, which then in that case, it's Raven's dad is the one that's the other big bad for them. That's like too big for anybody. So there's a lot of options there. I think Teen Titans is going to be a solid pickup.
Yeah, for sure.
Now let's move over to Peacemaker. Obviously, this is the thing that got James Gunn, this and Suicide Squad got James Gunn into the DC side of things in the first place, and that's where they gave him basically the reins to the kingdom. So he says that Peacemaker Season 1 is still considered DCEU, so that's the old verse, and Season 2, which is almost going to be like a whole new story, is going to be in his universe. Interesting that they're going to divide it in half. John, you have had a chance to watch Peacemaker yet?
I think I only saw like an episode of it.
It's so damn good. You really should watch it.
So between these two, are they going to have all the same cast and everything? Everything's going to be the same? It's just going to...
He confirmed all of Team Peacemaker's coming back.
That's going to be weird. So it's going to be a show that bridges the two.
It is weird.
Or is it going to be... Maybe Season 2 will just kind of be like a soft restart. Like they all woke up on the beach and then it's like, well, that was a crazy party or something. You know, I don't know.
It would be interesting because at the end of Season 1, spoiler alert, because I know you're going to watch it because I'm telling you to watch it right now, and I'm paying for HBO again, Jonathan, so you go ahead and go for it. and that's where it's at. But anyways, at the end, he actually like talks to, for a second, Aquaman and Flash from DCEU. So like they are definitely tied. But I think that's why he had to clarify that Season 2 is not going to be tied to that at all. It's a great story, though. It's worth bridging. And there is a character in the comic books. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but after they did Crisis on Infinite Earths and they merged all the universes together, there was one character who went insane because of it, but he was the only character that had all the memories from the universe's past. And so he was this one guy that remembered like, no, there was like five Diana Troys and no, there was three Batmans. And you were talking like this dude's crazy, you know? And so Peacemaker could be that character, the guy who is like remembering like, no, don't you remember when like, you know, we already fought this. Superman went bad for a second. You know, like, what? You're crazy. That would be really
like,
fun.
Like, they're Deadpool. That's kind of outside.
Kind
of,
but not looking reality. At the camera. Like, actually, it's like a mental breakdown almost. But yeah, not looking at the camera, though, because that's too Deadpool-y. Like
not breaking the fourth wall, but he's outside. He can see more than everybody else inside their world.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's just a mental breakdown. And technically, it could be, actually. In canon, you could actually just make it that all the DCEU is some psychotic break in Peacemaker's mind, which would be dope. That would be awesome. That would make sense why it's so dark. Oh, God, James Gunn, call me. I'm going to help you out with this, man.
See, we should be consultants.
I know. Oh, God. So, okay. You haven't watched Peacemaker all the way through. Have you watched the new Suicide Squad then? With King Shark?
Negative.
Again, Jonathan.
It didn't look good.
I know. I totally agree with you. And after that first Suicide Squad, who would give him a chance?
Exactly.
Damn, it's so good. King Shark. Oh, it's so freaking, it's solid. I won't say it's so good. It's very much like a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe. Of course, it's James Gunn that did it. So that makes sense. He's the one that did Guardians of the Galaxy as well. But like King Shark, played by Sylvester Stallone of all people, is hilarious. He just has these short lines. And yet at one point he like, don't watch it with Susan. There's that one part where he like literally rips a guy in half, like this way in half, and like while it's raining and blood's there coming out of it, it's just so dope, Jonathan. And that's where Peacemaker's introduced, and they give him his own series after that. Yeah, it's it's cool. Yeah, watch it on your phone while you're at work so your wife doesn't see literally a dude being ripped in half.
Yeah, she might have nightmares on that one.
Idris Elba is the main star. I'll throw that in there. Oh, so
that's an easy sell.
Yeah, I did.
If we can make a movie, this guy, Idris Elba versus Tom Hardy, I'm down.
God, I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Make it like an Inception thing too. Like, oh, I'm so ready. That was the first time I remember seeing Tom Hardy was in Inception. And then it's like, oh yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah.
He's the guy that's like mimics people. He is.
Yeah.
Okay. Waller, the Waller series is getting delayed. It's just because they want to make sure to nail it down, but it is still going to be Viola Davis, who again, we saw in the Suicide Squad. So she's getting her own thing. It's just going to be delayed a little bit. And then he also confirmed that Creature Commandos, which is going to be the first thing in the DCU, does take place. Let's see. It's the official start for the DCU. It takes place before Batman or Superman or anything like that. And then Batman's going to be taking place after Swamp Thing. So it's like he's starting to set up the timeline a little bit so we know where everything takes place. I like that we have like one hand kind of guiding everything now. It was needed, yeah. Really.
And I don't know. I hope, obviously they're trying to replicate what Marvel's been doing, but I really think they should try to pick a slightly different lane. I don't think going head to head and trying to repeat it, because honestly, people are getting Marvel fatigue. They're kind of getting tired of the same old thing that Marvel's been doing. So if you're going to pump out the same thing they've made, you're not going to do any better than they are now. You want to repeat their success from 10, 20 years ago. You need to start doing what they did back then and, you know, create something fresh and innovative off of popular names. But yeah, I think you got to do something a little different than Marvel is doing now.
And in dark times, this is something that people have been mentioning online. In dark times, light shines, right? So right now we're a divided country. We're talking about all kinds of dark stuff going on right now, but and during the pandemic, like this is when the stuff starts first getting kicked around in the old thought bubbles, but we have something like Superman coming up and James Gunn being like, he's going to be the bastion of hope. He's going to be a good guy all the way through. But we have Fantastic Four that they're like, it's going to be inspired by Star Trek. Going to show the future that you guys wanted. And it's like, this is kind of the reason I get into comic books in the first place, is it's a place where Superman's just a good guy and he's your example, not like, oh, he's tortured by his mom's death and shit. Like, you know, it's just nice to have that. Next up, John, let's talk about TikTok. What'd you think?
Yeah, so we got this whole TikTok ban going on. And so it's super complicated. I'm sure you know all about it, but I'm gonna try to give a basic rundown. It's not that complicated. So there's a bill that was passed in the House and now it's going to the Senate. After that, it can go to the president. But it's I don't even remember the name of it. The purpose of the bill is to prevent other countries from manipulating our people, pretty much manipulating the American people.
Yeah.
I can't explain the way it's worded. I'm trying to.
Yeah, it's like they're wording it to where they don't specifically say TikTok ban because they're trying to make it as broad as possible to, it's definitely blocking out TikTok and ByteDance especially, but also being like, oh, we're not going for just your TikTok guys. We're just being safe. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a workaround, but it's saying that like a company that, or a social media platform, or a company that's owned by an adversarial
country.
So, you know, one of our, not our allies, shouldn't be able to influence their American people. And they think by a Chinese company owning TikTok and TikTok having, you know, such an influence on Americans that it's going to be a problem, that they can just say through their app, you know, use their algorithm to only show you stuff that's going to persuade you to vote the way they want you to vote, or, you know, start a civil war if that's what they want us to do. And I understand that as a real threat. Like I could see if, you know, I don't think China's trying to attack us right now, but maybe they are. I don't know. If you say Russia was trying to influence us, I'd believe it a little more, but whatever. Politics
just
aside,
let me hop in real quick, John. We do have listeners in those countries as well. And I just want to, especially in Russia.
Oh, true.
But I want to clarify something. We're always attacking each other in a way, right? Like there's always a level of spy games going on. And that's what we're talking about. Is not necessarily like firing a bullet, but always pushing each other's lines. That's how international geopolitics works. So just to kind of throw that out there. And then one of the other things too that they're really concerned about is that 170 million Americans' data is available to ByteDance, a Chinese-owned company, which then could be given to the Chinese government. So that's also something to be concerned about.
Yeah. So I mean, they're worried about this, Chinese-owned companies being controlled by their government, being told they have to turn over this data to the government and they can do malicious things with it. So I'm not 100% against this ban. What they're trying to do is get ByteDance to sell a portion of their company to an American-owned entity so that it could be ran, you know, the U.S. branch can be ran by an American company. You know, it's sticky. Obviously, they don't want to sell any of it. They're doing great. And they made,
of course,
made, you know, all their success. So whether they should be forced to or potentially have to not operate in the U.S., you know, what I don't like is they can't, the U.S. government's trying to stop ByteDance or a Chinese-owned company from influencing Americans, but they have no problem with Facebook or Twitter or anybody else
that's it doing right the same there, thing. Yeah.
So it needs to be non and not necessarily based on what country the company is owned by. It needs to be based on the purity or the authenticity of the information that's coming through the platform, and it should be governed equally, I think. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's so funny when you look at like who voted for what, right? It's not necessarily all one party or the other party. Strange bedfellows on this one, folks. You have some of the most polarized characters, quote unquote, of each party standing side by side, either pro or con on this. Mm-hmm. And it's all about who's paying their bills. You know, there's a lot of fundraising money on this, and it's done by Meta. And not only, but I will also say ByteDance is also putting a lot of money into this campaign as well. American politics have not legislators. God damn it. I know the word.
Lobbyists.
Lobbyists. Thank you. Have a lot of lobbyists, and that's their job. That's just how this country works. So yes, there's a lot of Meta money in this, and we know you can literally point at the people, different, very high level people who have Meta money involved. And then ByteDance on their side of this, how they're throwing their money around is they have invested in, advertising on their own platform, making it extremely easy for you to call your senator and bug them. And the senators, in their reaction, have complained about you guys are voicing your opinion too much and have even issued a statement to ByteDance saying, this is exactly why we need to ban you guys, is because you're influencing people, which I completely disagree with. And there's a narrative out there in certain... there's another thing, too, where there's an age gap, right, where people who are getting their news from the TV might not necessarily understand what TikTok is fully, but they're being told in some places that TikTok forced their users to call. No, you close the thing and you go. That's absolutely not. I didn't call. So there's that too.
Yeah. And Meta being, you know, lobbying against this and stuff like this. Do you think if TikTok was deleted from the world or not accessible to Americans? Because that's what's going to happen. People think it's going to go, no, other countries will still have TikTok. It's just we won't be allowed to use it. Do you think if it was gone, you would use Facebook more?
So Facebook came out with Reels. YouTube came out with Shorts. We publish on all of them. And the idea is that those would become more prominent, ideally. Or more importantly, because what happens if this bill passes, ByteDance has 180 days to... divest its stakes in it and make it to where it's owned by a United States company. So who's big enough to do that? Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, it's, you know, Meta would eventually buy TikTok in that case. Yeah. Okay, then we have another question. And will you guys be so picky about this? That's a monopoly.
Yeah.
And no, that's not, we're not going to ask that question. I wonder why.
We don't enforce monopoly laws in America very well.
Not very well. We have these spurts of it. Like in the 90s, we did a bunch of it with Microsoft. And then we shut up about it, and it's like, we really should diverse again.
So what does it take to be an American-owned company? Could ByteDance not buy a building in New York and have a guy sitting at a desk answering the phones and say, okay, we have an American-owned company, or move servers, build servers here, spend billions of dollars if they have to?
I will say the United States stuff is, the United States user information is stored in America.
So could they not be a parent company of a U.S.-based company? Do we not already have that in a lot of our businesses?
Well, here, that's so interesting to bring that up. You know, Fortnite, we talk about Fortnite all the time. It's 40% owned by Tencent, a Chinese-owned company.
Yeah, so and do you not think they can influence the next generation completely? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just because there's not EA lobbyists. that are pushing for Fortnite to be, you know, divested.
Fortnite's not costing Meta anything.
Yeah. So that's why it's so, so I kind of wanted to talk about that too. Like there is some real legitimate discussion to have here, and I'll go over a little bit more of the actual pros and cons on that, but it's being bogged down so much by the politicians. And it's a shame because they're the ones that have to decide for us. That's how just governments work. But because we know that they're being diluted by Meta money or TikTok money, either way, they can't sit down and just have a conversation over a table and figure out what's best for the people that they represent. And that is so frustrating.
Yeah. The more the heat gets turned up, the more it shines a light on how in the ways that our government is broken. And most of that is, you know, corruption from Citizens United and the dark money that's coming in and all these people stuff in their back pockets. It just can't happen anymore. We have to break that up to be able to have relatively honest government.
Yeah, that's a long conversation and a long problem. But as for what we have here, I think the idea that, first off, what would happen if it does happen, it's not that TikTok gets deleted from your phone, it's just you can't download it again. So it'll force it to go away eventually because, you know, new phones and stuff like that. And I use TikTok a lot on the PC, weirdly enough. So I would have it still access to it on the PC, things like that. So it's a weird situation.
Where is Apple based out of? Is Apple an American company?
It's a California company, yeah.
Because all of our phones are made in China, right?
Yeah, because that's cheaper. But it's here. Yeah.
So the business is here, but the labor can be in another country. But you can't have the labor here and the business be in another country.
It's very odd like that. Yeah. I know. It's so confusing. So just real quick here, we have the official pros and cons on this. So the pros to banning TikTok is national security. It aims to protect the U.S. user data from potential exploitation by a foreign adversary. China can request from any company that's in their borders the data, or can request any information. Yeah. They want it anytime. Yeah, yeah. So that is true. That can't happen. And then the data privacy issues addresses concerns regarding the privacy and security of American user data. The con to a TikTok ban, market disruption, could negatively impact small businesses and influencers relying on TikTok for marketing, sales, and income. Like ourselves, I would argue that TikTok right now is our most prominent advertising source for the Geek Freaks podcast. Mm-hmm. If you guys look at the numbers, I mean, don't look at today's fucking videos, they didn't do well, but normally lately they've been doing pretty decent, and that's a way to kind of aim. We have headlines, we talk about what we're going to be talking about on the next Geek Freaks, and we have clips going up. That's one of our big things. There are a lot of people now who make their money on TikTok. If this gets banned, they said 300,000 people out of work because they're influencers or they sell that's things on shame. TikTok.
And I like it because, like, you know, when I want to look up a recipe, I don't Google recipes anymore. I look up TikTok videos of other people making that recipe, and I follow that way. You know, there's a lot you can get out of it if you use it, you know, the right way.
I get recipes not wanting them, not necessarily looking out for them. And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. You know what? I think I have that. And I make it.
Exactly.
Free speech concerns. So critics, including digital rights groups, argue a ban would infringe on America's right to information, advocacy, and entertainment. It's a little tricky because free speech necessarily, it's complicated. It's kind of like your government has to block the free speech for it to actually be a free speech problem. But it is how we share information. And for those who are saying, like, oh, they can make it to where it leans one way or the other, my feed is very much different than my father's feed. And very much different than your feed and very much different than, like, mom's feed or whatever. My feed, politically, is polar opposite to my dad's feed. And they're not steering either of us in any particular way. Yeah. It's giving you what you already engage with. And that's why it knows what kind of politics I like and what kind of politics he likes. You know?
Yeah. And right now it's doing that. I think the concern is they can lose control of that and it be used maliciously. But yeah, right now it gives you what you want. It you know, finds what you're looking for and gives you more of it. But yeah, if they decided to turn the steering wheel left or right, then it could probably influence people. But I think that's something that we have to, you know, work with ByteDance on, is like, hey, you're a great company. We want you to be involved in the US, but we need to have some kind of regulations on how this is ran to make sure it's safe. And these aren't going to be imposed on just you. It's going to be imposed on all social media companies that operate in the United States. So Meta and all the other ones are going to have to follow along as well. And just regulations.
I would be okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like how our data is handled and, you know, how the information is given to us. You know, what do you look at someone's clicks, you know, how do you determine what they should be seeing to make sure that you're not getting pushed a certain
maybe
narrative?
An outside source that does the moderation on there would be really nice.
Yeah.
Personally, I've noticed that TikTok, I mean, Twitter, I mean, it's gone to shit, guys. I know people still use Twitter, and I still visit Twitter because it's where I have connections that I need to be able to like email people back, whatever, message people back. But I log into Twitter, John, maybe once a week, and I am constantly just blocking reporting bots for the first like 30 minutes I'm on there. Yeah. And I'm like, how this has never been ridiculous. A problem before. And it was literally the point of Twitter being sold to Elon Musk because he wasn't going to have bots. They are far worse by a mile. It is almost unusable to me. And I'm a heavy social media user because of this podcast. It's ridiculous. One of the last cons, by the way, brought up often is the requirements for ByteDance to sell TikTok and give up the algorithm, which is very hard for them to do and can be leaked to Meta, or not. We keep saying Meta, but could be anybody else who's got a social media thing going on, even Blue Sky or something. It's nearly impossible for them to do it in the 180-day time frame. That 180 days is being based off of Elon Musk buying Twitter, which he was only doing. He did it for $44 billion. I'm sorry. I was only doing because he was forced to based off a promise and then a lawsuit. So that can't be replicated for ByteDance. It's impossible. Yeah. So they're basically forcing the ban in a way because they can't sell it in 180 days. Literally like not possible. So then you're forcing them to get banned. It's all shady politics in my opinion.
I wonder what it cost. How much would it cost ByteDance? How much would they struggle if they didn't have an American audience? There's a big world out there. There's just a piece of it. Would they be just fine to be like, you know what, US, sorry, you guys are being stupid over there. We don't need you.
There really is already like basically, I forget what it's called, but there's a TikTok for, I know China has their own, and there's even a Fortnite that's specifically for China. And so sometimes I watch clips of their TikTok or their Fortnite, and it feels a little cheaper if I'm being honest, but like more wacky. And so it's kind of fun to watch just the shit that goes on. But yeah, so they already have their own and they would definitely take a hit. And yeah, Meta would do well. There is an argument out there too. Like, well, then the money would go to American companies. Yes. Money would go to people who are so stinking rich that numbers don't matter to them anymore.
Yeah.
It's not going to go to you and me. It's going to go to people who are,
it's going to be funneled to different millionaires or billionaires. Yeah.
It will never see the effect of money coming to an American company. It just will never happen. So we know that if it does get to Joe Biden, he says he will approve it. He's been saying that since day one. TikTok will likely challenge this in court. They have the option to do that. It will unlikely be successful if they do, though. And it has an uncertain future in the Senate, but there are a lot of experts that are saying this is happening. So it's all about whether or not they could sell it. And I almost think ByteDance needs to look at selling it now before it becomes toxic. It's an ugly future, though, man, for TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, like, man, why could they? They shouldn't have to sell it to somebody like Elon Musk or whatever.
If they could sell it to anybody, but it's so expensive that it'd have to be somebody that owns a social media company, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I would sell it to the smallest one. Sell it to MySpace so that Elon Musk doesn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's just crazy. I hope there's a way that they can just make a U.S. company and it still be ByteDance. Just they have a U.S. division. Why would they not? I don't know. I mean, they probably already have that set up. They operate here. They must have, like you're saying, they have servers here and everything. So
I think Microsoft's big enough to own it that doesn't technically have a social media company. They have Xbox, and I wouldn't mind that being tied together. And there's all, you know, I wouldn't mind that. And I believe Oracle is already working with TikTok to provide their U.S. servers. So, and Oracle is one of those companies that's gigantic. It's just not said often. In the 90s, it was known a lot more. They could own, there are definitely some tech companies that are big enough for it, but the ones that would be interested in it is definitely Mark Zuckerberg. And of course, he's putting money behind it. And, you know, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I love me some TikTok. Again, we advertise the podcast through it, but even just as a user, I've met some wonderful people over there. People that, you know, talk about being cast members at Disneyland, or people who just spout off on Lord of the Rings like it's a history book. I was just shared with Kevin today, a guy who broke down the production of Deep Space Nine and Voyager and why they were so unique in the Star Trek canon. It's like, man, I get fueled from that. And there's some of the funniest things I've seen in my life are on TikTok. So I hate to see that go away, you know?
Who was the guy who wrote Game of Thrones?
George R. R. Martin.
George R. R. I was going to say J.R.R. Tolkien. I was like, no, that's not right.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I keep seeing videos now of him talking about, you know, the books, and he was just explaining one of them I saw where it kind of diverged between the show and his books. And he's like, well, yeah, my books, there's a lot of characters that are still alive that they killed off in the show. And what they didn't know is they have comeback stories. There's, you know, certain things that are going to happen. They can't show because they already killed off this character, but he has a huge arc that's coming back or something. And it's like, oh man, that's so cool. So there's a lot of great stuff to see. I noticed I see on TikTok a lot, TikTok shop things. And at one point it kind of got annoying. I'm like, why do I keep seeing this? But you know, things that I don't want to see over and over again. But then I realized it's like, well, every once in a while I like something that's from the TikTok shop. I don't buy it, but I like it. And it's like, oh wait, I should see that that's a shop thing. Yeah. And, but they got a lot of cool stuff on there and usually, you know, really good deals. So I'm like, at some point I'm going to, you know, bite the bullet, pull the trigger, one of those two, and, you know, buy something on it. And then it's going to be every other TikTok swipe. I'm going to be buying something.
I believe it's every third is a sponsored ad or marketplace. Let's check. I got it up right here. So obviously that's Oreos. 1, 2, 3 sponsored. Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3 Nope. Okay. So they changed it. When it first came out, when that shop first came out, is every three was sponsored or a shop. And it was just like, okay, guys, what you could do to help with that is you could actually ban hashtags that you don't want to see on your feed. So ban hashtag TikTok shop. And it cuts a lot of them off.
Not to do that. Oh, I see some really good stuff though. I just saw like a kid's playboard or whatever, like to get your kid off of tablets, which unfortunately when my son's, you know, mad or whatever, we'll give him his tablet or give him one of our phones when we're at the store and stuff like that. But they have this, you know, like a lot of kids' toys, but it's like a bunch of little toy cars inside a plastic case, and they all have letters on them. And then there's parking spots. It's like you're in a parking lot. There's parking spots for each of the letters. And so you have to take the little magnetic wand and move all the little cars into their parking spot. It's all, you know,
they're learning like matching letters and stuff. That is genius.
And fine motor skill, because you got to go really slow, because if you move too fast, it falls. And there's little spots to do like a roundabout so you could turn the car around to face the right direction. And it's like, man, that's smart. It's relatively small, you know, it's a little bit bigger than a tablet, but maybe less, you know, a foot and a half or something like that square. And, you know, it was only like $14, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you go into Target, you're going to find a toy like that. Yeah. But it's going to cost you $40. So, you know, I might as well buy it on the TikTok shop.
I see so many like cool 3D printed ideas that I just never would have thought about, like different kind of holders that you would like, oh, of course, why don't we have that already? So many genius things.
For 3D print ideas now too on there. A lot of cool stuff.
I tell you what, I mean, it's especially like 2 o'clock in the morning. It has made me laugh harder than any comedy movie I can think of. And just the next one is about a dog dying and I'm crying.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, it's so good because it's so real. And I hate to lose it. And it's not going to be replaced by Instagram or YouTube. You know, YouTube's trying. I do like YouTube's credibility. Like we published all of them. And they definitely all have strengths at different times. It's really weird. Like all of a sudden, like, oh, Instagram's doing well. The other two are slacking behind now. It always takes changes like that. But yeah, it's an interesting time we live in right now. Hopefully there's a way for this to work out. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yes. Okay. Guys, by the way, I will end this thing off with Invincible Season 2, Part 2 just came out. And I just got a chance to watch that again. I did that in the meta. Felt like I was in a theater. Super cool. It's incredible start. It's a credible return. I did not think they could redeem Mark's dad. You guys got to watch it, but Mark's dad's not redeemed. Don't get me wrong. But all of a sudden I am far more sympathetic for him. The writing on Invincible is impeccable. It's Robert Kirkman. Of course, it's going to be really good. He's the one that did Walking Dead. Of course, it's so, so good. And the fact that it's animated, sometimes I forget that it's like animated while I'm watching it. I'm like, this is incredible writing. And you're like, oh, that's right. This is also animated. It's just so good. Have you had a chance to watch Invincible yet?
I haven't seen any of them yet.
Okay. It is very good, John. I think it might be up your alley. Yeah, it is very good. I would suggest it to
you. Where do you watch it at?
Prime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have Prime.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Robert Kirkman, the guy that did Walking Dead. It's yeah. Think of early Walking Dead, how it's just like, man, this is really heartbreaking stuff or whatever. The idea is that I'll just give you the real broad strokes here. He's the son of essentially a Superman who's a guy from space, yada, yada, yada. You find out that he comes from a race called the Vultramites, who send out basically one member to each planet to get them ready for them to come over and invade it. And when Mark finds out about this, who is his half-human, half-Vultramite son, finds out about it, he tries to beat his dad to stop him. It does not go well. And it is an incredible story of multiple layers and trying to figure out, like, I love my dad. He wants to murder this planet. And there's one line that crushes everybody, where he's talking shit about his mom, the woman that the guy married and had Mark with. And she's like, I love her, but she's like a pet to me. Like, she's not really on my level. And it's like, bro, fuck you. That's so messed up. Like, I love my dog too, but you know,
that's a lot like what was that other show?
The Boys?
Other superhero show. Oh yeah. The Boys. Yeah.
Also like on that. Prime. Yeah.
That was a good show. I put off watching it for so long. And then I finally watched it. I was like, oh yeah. Just don't watch it with, you know, my wife and son in the room.
For real. Yeah. That's coming back pretty soon too. I'm really hyped for that one as well.
Yeah.
So I got good times. Okay. So yeah, Invincible season 2, part 2 coming back. I would say I'd give it a good B+. Okay. Nice. I'm going to go 8.5, almost 9 out of 10 for that one, guys, worth your watch. Network stuff. What's going on in the network? So first off, we're going to be talking again a lot about X-Men over on Challenge Accepted. Come and join us. We're going to be talking about our favorite moments from the original X-Men animated series, getting everybody hyped for the next one. Outlast podcast is back and in full swing. We're talking about Survivor season 46 of Survivor over there. Jonathan, real quick, do you have any favorites yet?
Oh, dude, I do. I actually have your favorites, mom's and mine and my wife's on my phone. Let me find them very quick. I know mom picked Hunter. I was going to pick Hunter. And then I was like, oh, no, not if she has already got him. Because I don't want to be doubling on somebody already, especially when I know your guys is
too good. Like, he might get kicked out because he's too good. Yeah, that happens so often.
I kind of hope so now, because I totally wanted to pick him, but I was like, no, not if. But then Susie picked him. My wife picked him. Like, yeah, you can't do that. But yeah, and then in this last episode where we saw how good he is with the challenges because he literally practiced them, you know, as his job.
Yeah,
like that's pretty dope.
That's smart.
Mine are already on the brink of failure, so I'm probably not going to do great. But I picked Kenzie and Tiffany, which are two like butting heads with each other. But I think if they make it to merger, they're both going to be sharks. So
well, they're on the same side right now, but it's just like it takes a second for one of those two to turn on the other one.
Yeah,
because both super aggressive players, but they're on the same side right now. Yeah,
they're on the same side because there's such a small tribe with them. But I think as soon as they're in a bigger crowd, they're out for blood.
Yeah.
Neither of them would trust each other.
Susan's got Hunter and who else?
Oh, yeah. Hunter and Q.
Q.
Yeah.
Q is so aggressive. I think he's going to grab attention as soon as they merge.
Yeah. He's like, I think it's really aggressive. He seems so socially good, you know, pretty smart and effective in challenges, but he is a little bit too big of an ego. And I think that's going to be a problem moving forward, you know? That whole like, don't worry, I got you. This, I'm gonna take care of you. It's like you're putting out a lot of confidence for, you know, something you don't have much control over.
Yeah.
So, but then that whole, you know, the passionate commitment comes with a failure, and then it's like, oh, I completely failed. I'm useless. Just throw me away. That's not good. That's emotional instability, and we can't trust you.
So, I know he does that a lot, though. He does that where he's like, yeah, I don't care for that so much. So guys, join us over on Outlast Podcast. We like to keep track of everybody's favorites and see how they do. We pick our favorites at this point and see how far they get in there. Those are some really good ones. I think we have a really good season. We just got to get Banu out of there and we're fine. He is a mess.
But I think Q's got a good point. Keep him along and use him in your top three. He would be a good one to sit next to.
For sure. And he is like, he's so defenseless. You really can just take him anywhere you want to. All right. And then Who's Got Next Game Podcast. They just finished their PlayStation 1 brackets. They are this week going to be at the Arizona Gamers Expo. So if you guys are there, go check them out. They're going to be cruising around. Charles and Connor are down there taking pictures and having fun. But yeah, they just finished up their PS1 bracket. And I will say I was upset about it. But that's good podcasting. When I was like, those bastards, how's Crash not going to win this? And then over on Challenge Accepted, we are wrapping up Halo this week, which is the final two episodes we're going to be doing. We're also going to be doing Challenged by Drake, Congo from 90. 90s. You remember that movie Congo with the apes, the white apes?
No, I don't. You were
too young,
so.
Man. There's like a big laser and they were killing gorillas with it. It's so crazy.
Well, yeah, because there was like a blonde woman and they were like trying to live amongst the apes, right?
There was a bit of that. Yeah, and there's one gorilla that like does sign language and they use that to like translate for them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Drake challenges to that. And I was like, I haven't thought about that since the 90s. So I'm excited to check that out.
Nice.
Challenge accepted, by the way. Shout out to myself, Andrew, and Thomas. We just donated our food. It was 210 pounds of food over there. We did that based off the listens from last year. 210 pounds of food, about 250 items, give or take. It was wonderful. I appreciate every single listen over there, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on that adventure. We're going to do it again for sure, and I think we're going to do it for Geek Freaks as well, just because I loved bringing that food to that food shelter, so I'd love to do that again. And then lastly, we're doing this across the entire network. This is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, guys. If you're over 45, you go in, you got to get that checked out. It's once every 10 years. Once you get the procedure done, once you get the check, you're good for another 10 years. And they check up for polyps, they take those polyps out, and you're safe. They test the polyps, and then you're good. So check that out, guys. In the link in the description, we're going to have more information on on the cancer. And we're going to also have a page where you can find your local testing sites. It's not an easy test, I'll give you that. But again, once every 10 years, you can't beat. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.